Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. The Hub City Spartanburger text line is open at 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. Shoot us a text. That is the same number to call in and be a part of the radio program. If you'd like to get on the air, 844-326-3663. I was told last week in a conversation that both shocked and enlightened me. And it's not the first time I've heard it, so it shouldn't be shocking or enlightening, but it was. That there are times, apparently, I come across as unfriendly to callers. Not like directly in my conversation with them, but more, I guess the right word would be uninviting to callers. I want you to know that could not be any further from the truth. I love when you guys are a part of the show. I want you to be a part of the show. Rick, I apologize that I didn't get to you before you hung up in the last segment. If you'd like to call back, I got a spot for you right now. And that is true for all of you. I welcome, encourage, invite, and request you to call in and be a part of the show. Now, I know that it is the morning. Most of you are getting up, getting dressed, getting ready for work, on your drive to work. Maybe you're listening at work, and so calling isn't an option. But for those of you for whom it is, please know that the phone lines are always welcome. The phone line are always open, and you are invited and encouraged to participate in the show as often as you would like. 844-326-3663. I have asked you all, what is your way too early, yet also definitely not, expectations for your football team in the 2025 season? And I will say I am good for the Gamecocks. I am good for Clemson, Furman, Wofford, Atlanta Falcons, Carolina Panthers, whoever you may be a fan of, NFL or college. I want right now to know, what is your realistic expectation for the season? I brought up in the last segment, Cade Klubnik is a top four shortest odds for Heisman. Lenora Sellers is a top seven shortest odds for Heisman. Ryan Horvat, host of BetMGM Tonight on the BetMGM Network, of whom I am a big fan and regular co-host. Horvey's already got a play on Lenora Sellers to win the Heisman. He loved it. It's at 25-1. He said, I would bet you by week four that number's going to be closer to 12-1. He thinks that Lenora Sellers out of the gate is going to be a dog. And I do not disagree with him. In fact, I would say it may be, depending on the performance, obviously, it may be week one. Because while the opponent is not necessarily a national powerhouse in terms of success, South Carolina, at a game that I will be at in week one, is taking on Virginia Tech, the Hokies, Shane's dad's old team. Taking on VTech in the ATL in week number one. It is one of a handful, not a ton, but a handful of games in week one taking place between brands. And I believe that that game is in a pretty much isolated time slot. Like, it's going to be one of, if not the only game between brands that's going to be in the time slot that it is being played. And if that is the case, eyes are on South Carolina right out of the gate. And part of the eyes will be on South Carolina because it is probably the, if not one of the two or three biggest games in that time slot. Eyes will be on South Carolina because they had some dubs last year that started to get some attention. And eyes will be on South Carolina because of Lenora Sellers. The expectations are there. This year, we talked about Clemson in the last segment, so I'll talk about some South Carolina here. This year, to me, while we went into last year saying, this is the most important year for Shane Beamer, it may be the most important year that he has, period. Because this is the year, now that he's been here three, this is the year that Shane Beamer is going to get to prove or will fail to prove that all of this culture stuff that has been his selling point is working. It is going to prove that guys that are coming in and through the portal are quality value guys. It is going to prove that the recruiting classes that he has been lauded for are quality recruiting classes. It is going to prove that the system he has in play with coordinators coming and going, and all this is true about this year too, that it works as well. And if it does not work this year, then next year he will be under a microscope. And he will be under the microscope from the standpoint of, is this the guy? Is this even a guy? Well, I think we can say last year's South Carolina campaign was successful. They met what y'all as fans leading up to the season told me was your average floor expectation and surpassed it. So the excitement level grows. I think this year, with a guy listed as a Heisman Trophy short odds haver at 25-1. And again, those are very long odds. Those are very long odds. But they are also about the seventh shortest odds in college football right now, with only about 14 guys on the board as a whole. Just being listed puts you inside the top 15 players. In terms of Heisman odds, not necessarily that it's going to translate to success, but just being listed says that the national expectation, and the reason I use, because so many of you have asked, and I will answer the question again, the reason that I base a lot of my sports opinions largely on the odds set in Las Vegas is because it is, and I mean this, it is the one entity who must have no personal opinion on the line, because personal opinions in Vegas will cost them millions and millions of dollars. Every single book. If one book lists, say, Lenora Sellers at 25-1 and one book lists him at 16-1, then anybody who wants to take a Lenora Sellers bet out is going to go to the book that has him at 25-1. You can just win more money. And so what would happen if you are that book is if he does win it and you set the odds that long, you are going to have to pay out tens of millions of dollars. If you are the book that set him at the shorter odds because you are very pro Lenora Sellers, what's going to happen is all the money that would have come in on Lenora Sellers is going to go to that other book. All the bets are going to be placed at the book where you get the best return on your money. And if that is the case and he doesn't win, then all those bets that would have been kept by the sports book, those bets never get made in the first place. So Vegas has to take it all out. They can't use personal opinion. It will get them killed if they do. So with that being said, the reason that I base a lot of my projections and prognostications on what the Vegas lines say in combination with my mind that knows ball is very simply because it is the one place that you can go and get an unbiased, no personal opinions included, projection on where things are going to go. They got to be as close to right as they can get, or at least to. And again, there is some element of this that goes the other direction, that being a lot of it has to do with the reactions of the fans too, right? Like if they set Lenora Sellers at 25-1 and they get no bets on the guy, then they will have to shift those down. It may not mean that they don't believe that Lenora Sellers will be in Vegas. It's just that if they're not taking any action on that number, it's a pointless number. Or the opposite. If they put up Lenora Sellers at 25-1 and 1,000 Ryan Horvats go out there and drop $2 million bets on Lenora's to win the Heisman, then they shorten those odds to protect themselves in case he does win. So there is public input, but it takes a lot. It takes a lot for the public to move a Vegas line off of where it's ordinarily set. Now, there are things outside of that that can move that line or be taken into consideration that we may not know about. One of the things that make the best bookmakers successful is that it's not just the fact that they have a pretty good opinion. They got some guys in there that know ball that kind of say, here, this, and this, and they put those opinions together. But do you know who the best journalists in sports are? Vegas bookmakers. They have got to know the information before anybody else so that they can adjust the odds. Because if they don't know that, say, in the Oklahoma City-Denver game, it was announced, two nights before the game, that Aaron Gordon, who has been a playmaker in this series for the Nuggets, one of two reasons, him and Nikola Jokic, and to some degree Jamal Murray, that the Nuggets were able to far outperform their playoff expectations. Most people thought that this team was getting bounced in round one by the Clippers, and when they didn't, most people thought they were bounced in four or five by Oklahoma City. They took it to seven. Aaron Gordon was a big part of that reason. Well, when the initial line dropped on game seven between the Thunder and the Nuggets were favored by 3.5 to 4.5, depending on the book you looked at. And then late that night, because I was looking at them, late that night, the odds jumped. And all of a sudden, Oklahoma City became an 8.5-point favorite. 8.5 points. That's a jump of, again, depending on the book you look at, anywhere from 4 to 5 points. That's a big number for a sudden shift, which meant that there was something out there that we didn't know yet. And then a handful of minutes later, the Shams Wow, almost called it a Shams Bomb. It's not. It's a Woj Bomb and a Shams Wow. The Shams Wow dropped that Aaron Gordon had been diagnosed with a strained hammy and his availability in Game 7 was in question and would be effectively game-time decision. The reason that that point line dropped so much was because somebody in Las Vegas got that call. That information made its way to the books before it made its way to you and I as sports fans / degenerate gamblers. So, when that information happened, it should tell you that the best journalists in sports aren't Shams and Shefty and those guys. The best journalists in sports are people who don't write stories about what the information they get is. They don't write stories about it. They keep it to themselves because it gives them an advantage on getting that out there. If that information about Aaron Gordon would have become public before the line moved from 4.5 or 5.5 to 8.5, then guys like me saw that, ran to the book, and hammered, if possible, the Oklahoma City Thunder to cover that number. Because the Denver Nuggets are now playing two injured starters or playing one injured starter and just outright missing another guy in a series they've already gotten blown out at in a couple of times. So Vegas has got to get that number changed before the information becomes publicly available so that they don't get that line hammered and become liable for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. The point here is the folks in Vegas have an idea of what is really going on with just about every franchise or program in America well before we do. And so if they've got lines up that say Lenoris Sellers is a top seven guy in the Heisman race, they are convinced that he is a top seven guy. Either that or there's tens of millions of Gamecock fans that threw tens of millions of dollars at Lenoris Sellers, and Vegas, as a response to that, had to set the line. But here's the thing, and this is just my inclination from doing this here and from doing this on a national show and from being a guest on shows around the nation by the week. No. The rest of the country is just warming up to Lenoris Sellers despite the year he had last year. So this says the folks in Vegas honestly have expectations for this kid and this team this year.
So I'm curious, as far as Vegas goes, how early do people bet on the next season?
As soon as the numbers go up. As soon as the numbers go up.
So as soon as and how soon is that in a year? After spring, or is this before spring?
It's book by book. It's site by site. Some feel more comfortable putting up earlier. Some like to wait and let stuff play out. I know, for instance, BetMGM had the first numbers that came up on BetMGM were futures for next year's national champion. And those came out about 3 days after the national championship game this year.
So does your average fan do this, or is this just people who bet a lot? And so that's what they're doing. Does the average fan go, okay, the numbers are up, let me go ahead and throw some money down?
My vibe is no. It's mostly people that this is part of what they do, right? Like, they're just gamblers. It's people who are gamblers. And on top of that, I would even go, it's the hardcore, because Deck and I have had this conversation before. It is hard for me. When the wife and I take one of our occasional trips up to Asheville, North Carolina, where I can lock in bets for a handful of days or whatever, or when I'm handing out advice on the radio, I am not a dude who is taking out a bet in May or April or March that will not cash until February of next year, because that money's locked up for a year and a month. If I'm going to do that, it's kind of like the stock market, where I put some money in with the recognition that that money's not getting touched for months, if not years. I don't like doing that. I just like to play numbers every single day. And again, I do it for modern entertainment. Like I said, I'm a beer bet money guy. Like, I bet $10 on a game and win 12. Like, I'm a small market guy. But for the dudes that are putting tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars down on numbers, Vegas has got to get it right so those guys don't smoke them. And those are the types of guys that have money that they can go, I'm put a $10,000 bet down on Ohio State to win the Natty next year, which right now pays out at like 4.5 to 1, and I can let that money sit until that time next year.
So the hardcore gamblers are the ones who help set the line for the entire season?
Yes.
How much of an influence are the fans who come in probably when football season starts? How much can they sway things?
They can. When the casuals get involved, and casuals, for the record, as I've said before, not a dirty word. Okay?
Sure does sound that way.
I know it sounds like it. It is not a dirty word. I don't even need to come up with a metaphor. It's not a dirty word. It just means you don't bet a lot, right? But when
it's the same as mid or normies.
No, it's really
or
not.
Or something like that.
It's just, really not.
It's like, okay. It comes across that way.
A casual is just somebody. I make a handful of bets, you know, once a week, right? Handful of bets once a week. I'm not even what I would say a hardcore guy. Like, some of the guys on the network are playing like thousands of dollars a night. I'm not. I am a casual. But when the lines for the championship start to shift around a little bit and we get to the regular season and it's less of a wait to find out and it's a little bit more solid what the teams look like and what they're going to perform like and guys get involved, casual fans can absolutely have an influence.
So is it better to lock in early or wait till the real fans get involved?
Welcome to gambling, baby. Welcome to gambling. Who knows? Can I take a bet on Ohio State right now when you, as a hardcore fan, just told me a minute ago you don't even know who your quarterback's going to be? Not really, but I'll tell you what I can say is the odds for Ohio State are going to shift when they name a quarterback. And if it's the guy Vegas likes, they may get shorter and I can't make as much money. And if it's a guy they don't like, maybe they get longer and I can make more money. That's gambling. All right, let's take a break. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, I got some sound for you. Nikola Jokic is one of us, and he proved it again after getting bounced out of the playoffs. We'll play you that and an interesting take on how he is developing basketball, in my opinion, in America for the better. That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nikola Jokic has won the Most Valuable Player Award 3 out of the last 4 years. The only year he did not win it was 2 years ago when Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers won it in what I believe was one of the most controversial MVP decisions of all time. And I include the years that LeBron James was a stud and did not win it, the year Kobe Bryant was a stud and did not win it, hell, the year Michael Jordan was at his peak and did not win it. That is because many of those years, even though they were the best player that year, they were not always the most valuable player that year. There is a difference, and I think that is something that a lot of Americans have kind of lost sight of. It is not best statistics. It is not flashiest. It is not most SportsCenter top 10 plays. It is most valuable. The dude who did the most to help his team achieve whatever it is that they achieved. There are years where the MVP comes off of a team that does not win a national championship, a world championship, a year. There are years where the MVP does not come off of a team, at least in my opinion, that even gets into the playoffs. But maybe they were close and this guy just didn't have it in him. Nikola Jokic, in my opinion, is the MVP and has been for this year, his fifth consecutive year. I talked about this earlier in the show. Stick with me because I am going somewhere with this. I had a host on Saturday's show from 8:50 a.m. KOA in Denver, Colorado. Guy covers the team, follows the team, does the pre- and post-game show for the Denver Nuggets. And I said, if you could make an argument to me for Nikola Jokic to be the MVP this year, and you were not allowed to use the words triple-double, what would that argument be? And he said, without Nikola Jokic on this team's a lottery team. That's how bad it is. Without Jokic on this team, they are not going to seven with the Thunder. They are not playing the Clippers at all because they don't even make the playoffs. And not even just not make the playoffs. They don't make the playoffs, and they're probably picking inside the top 10 in the draft and maybe competing for the number one overall selection. He said, look, Jamal Murray is still a guy, but he's not as free to do what he does without Nikola Jokic. Outside of that, we overpaid Aaron Gordon. We overpaid Bobby Portis Jr. Neither one of those guys, with the exception of Gordon in the last couple of games, has really done anything to help. Nikola Jokic is the MVP because without him, this team is a lottery team. If I took Donovan Mitchell off of Cleveland, they're probably still a playoff team. They won 64 games. Maybe not the one seed, still a playoff team. If I took Jason Tatum off of the Celtics and they were a fully healthy team, they're not winning the East, but they're probably still getting into the playoffs behind Jaylen Brown, Derek White, right? You look at any other of the playoff teams. Jalen Brunson off the Knicks. They're probably going in as the lowest seed in the East, but they've still got enough guys on that squad. They're probably a playoff team. And even if none of those teams made the playoffs, none of them would be lottery picks. The Nuggets would. That, to me, is the definition of the most valuable. So, there's been this interesting conversation going on about Nikola Jokic because there's nothing about Nikola Jokic's game outside of stat lines. There's nothing about it that we traditionally consider flashy, impressive, nothing that feels like it's must-watch TV. But there is two things going that make Nikola Jokic, to me, good for basketball overall. Here's the first one. Nikola Jokic is just kind of a dude. He's just kind of a dude. You see him out in public. After the game six win, there were social media posts. Nikola Jokic went straight to the bar. He was in a bar at like 11:45 that night, just fresh out of the stadium, up at the bar, I assume drinking vodka. Just hanging out. And it's like, yeah, me too, bro. Me too. I play a pickup game at the Y. I'm heading down to the watering hole. I get it. So Jokic, after the Thunder beat them in Game 7, was at the podium at his postgame presser, and he got asked, what's next? And I forgot to do the thing that lets me play sound. Hang on just a second. Got to switch my speakers over. There it is. Nikola Jokic, after being knocked out by the Thunder, was asked, what's next? One of us. One of us. Yeah, me too, Nikola. I get it. I get it. All right, so he's just likable. He's just likable. Like, he can get a little intense on the floor. He got mad at a ref the other day. I actually had this conversation with somebody. He got mad at the ref the other day because he was set up for a free throw, and the ref kind of, like, half-bounced past him the ball, and he was, like, talking to the ref. He's like, get me the ball. Like, why are you making me wait and bend over? Like, get me the ball on a good pass or whatever. People are getting mad. Why is he whining? Why is he whining? Why is he whining? The answer was, and I told them this, because Nikola Jokic understands basketball. The reason he was whining that he had to wait and bend over wasn't because he was upset that he had to wait and bend over to get the basketball on a lazy bounce pass from the official on the free throw. The reason he was whining was because it bought him like an extra 25 seconds to catch a breather. My man had played like 38 straight minutes, was carrying this team on his back, was working on a triple-double. Dude was gassed. And he bought himself like 25 seconds to catch some wind before the free throw. That was just the game within the game. But he's on top of that, he's just personable, man. Like, he finishes, he gets bounced out, he's really disappointed. And like a lot of us, when he gets disappointed, the reaction is, yeah, I'm going to go get a beer. That's my chill out. I get home, I had a long day, crap day, bad day, whatever. I tell the wife, I'm getting a beer and I'm going out to the fire pit in my lawn chair. If you want me, I'll be out there. Like that, I get it. Here's the second reason I love Nikola Jokic, because I think basketball in this country is about to get a hell of a lot better because of Nikola Jokic. This is the Dunk Express Pod. It warms the cockles of my cold, icy heart to hear young players, young fans, talking about the fact that American basketball over the past couple of years has transformed away from basketball and more into just a game of athleticism. I mean, you still got to be able to dribble. You still got to be able to pass. You still got to be able to shoot. You still got to be able to kind of sometimes defend. But it's become a game. It's a one-on-one game. It's five guys playing one-on-one for most teams. Not for Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic is a guy who plays the game of basketball, understands the game of basketball, sees the game of basketball, and plays the game within the game. And he should be winning his fifth consecutive MVP. It's going to go to Shea because Shea knocked him out of the playoffs. And for a lot of people, that is that head-to-head competition without context is what they are going to say is enough to push him over the edge. I think if anybody looks at the context of that win, it's like, yeah, Shea better win that game. Nikola's got one guy who literally can't put on his own jersey and another guy playing with a strained hammy. He's got to do it himself. You can triple team him because there's two guys out there who aren't really a threat. They're nowhere near 100%. It warms my heart to hear young fans, young players saying maybe it's not about raw athleticism. Maybe it's not about out-athleting guys. This dude is built funny. He walks funny. He walks on the side of his shoes. He's not in shape. He doesn't care about basketball. And yet he's out here putting up 35, 17, and 12 every game. Why? Because he's just a fundamentally sound player. And I wonder if moving forward, I hope moving forward, that the success, this is part of the another part of the reason I want him to win the MVP, even though he won't. I hope that at some point in the near future, this is my old man boomer take of the day, I hope that at some point, young players are start to be taught, play like Nikola Jokic. Play like the foundation of the game matters. Because if you play like that, you can be that guy, out of shape, built funny, whatever, and you can go get 35, 12, and 11. You can do it consistently. And if we start teaching our young players like that, basketball is going to be great. But if we keep doing this five players playing one-on-one stuff we've been doing for a while, not only is the rest of the world going to catch up with us internationally, but at some point, the game's going to get boring. I'll just go watch one-on-one videos on YouTube. When we come back, Boomer Esiason put the boomer in Boomer Esiason yesterday, and we're going to address it when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Waiting for the drums. There they are. Welcome back to Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It is Monday morning, every Monday at 8:40 a.m. We head on over to Clemson, South Carolina, where we welcome in a young man who covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier, John Blau, joining us here on the show. John, welcome back, big dog. Great to have you. I imagine the social media interactions were a little easier for you for the Clemson baseball team this weekend.
Yeah. You win three games. I think everybody's a little bit more calm, I would say, is the word.
Calm's a good word for it. You go to Pittsburgh, you get three on the road, and all three of them convincing, right? This wasn't we needed a walk-off. This wasn't Pitt was threatening bottom nine. I mean, these were all relatively comfortable wins. So, overall, what was the difference between these three and the last 11 or so? Was it a step down in quality of opponent? Maybe that Clemson just needed to find itself? Were they playing better foundational baseball? What was your takeaway from this three-game sweep?
Yeah, I do think it's a little bit of competition. I mean, Pittsburgh is at the near the bottom of the ACC. I don't think they have the level of arms that you see for some of the better teams in the ACC. But it was a more complete performance. I mean, you got Judge Clemson and what they were able to do. And Aiden Kanak and Drew Titsworth able to go deeper in the game, save the bullpen for, you know, Sunday. You have more options going into the last game. You have, I think, double-digit hits in back-to-back games for the first time since, like, mid-April. And so, you know, better in all ways. I mean, obviously pitching again, able to go and kind of cover the innings you need and hitting, be able to produce enough hits, stringing them together to be able to score runs. So, it was a complete performance. I think it at least gets Clemson a little more confidence going into the ACC tournament. It's still kind of brutal to look back. I mean, if Clemson wins one more conference game, any game throughout the regular season, they're the number one seed in the ACC tournament. They win the regular season title. Now they're the number five seed, and so they don't get the double bye. They get one bye. So, it's still a little brutal when you look back, but I think to get a little confidence going into the postseason was important.
John Blau with the Post and Courier here on the show. Yeah, I was taking a look at the way that the brackets set up. Clemson getting the five seed. They will get the winner of the Virginia Tech Stanford game. I will say this, John, and I'd like your thoughts on it. Even though you ended up as the five, could have been the one with just a little bit of a difference anywhere in the regular season. I still kind of feel like the bracket sets up pretty nicely for Clemson, or about as nicely as you could have asked it to being anything other than the one seed.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Stanford or Virginia Tech. Clemson played Stanford. That's a team that they've already proven they could beat. Virginia Tech, I think, is a team you should be able to beat. You get NC State a second time around. If you win one of those, beat one of those teams, and NC State obviously swept you during the regular season, but they're not as hot as they were when you played them the first time. You get to play them and then maybe earn a chance to play some of those upper echelon teams again, either UNC or Florida State or some of them, but that's not until later in the bracket. So, yeah, I think it sets up nicely, and I think there might even be an advantage playing an extra game and not having to double by, kind of getting another win, getting maybe two wins, kind of, you know, stacking as many wins as you can in this ACC tournament to kind of solidify yourself as a regional host. I mean, looking at the projections, it seems like Clemson should comfortably be there now that they swept their last regular season series. But I think getting some wins, getting some momentum up again, I think that the idea of playing an NC State team that you got beaten pretty badly by in the regular season, maybe get a second chance at them, you might be able again to pick up some more confidence, more momentum as you go into this postseason, eventually the NCAA tournament.
All right, let's take a look at this three-game set, John Blau, and see if we can maybe translate it a little bit to what Clemson takes momentum-wise into the ACC tournament. Thursday was the closest game, a 6-1 win. You put 11 up on the board on Saturday, 13 up on the board on Sunday. You know, yeah, Pittsburgh probably doesn't have the arms that a Florida State does, a Duke does, and NC State does. There's still ACC caliber arms, and it is a tough conference. So putting up 11, putting 13 ups, got to give Eric Backich a reason, maybe breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. Talk to me about what the offense specifically was doing in this series to build that momo before they head into the tournament starting on Wednesday.
Yeah. The back-to-back games with double-digit hits. I mean, if you look at the second game, the Saturday game, Cam Cannarella is 4-5 from the plate. I mean, to have a day like that from him, Jared Purifoy, get back on the board. You know, like a lot of guys that have been maybe at different points of the season slumping a little bit, to have them kind of back hot again. Dominic Listy having a really nice series. You know, Jack Crichton, I think his batting average went back over 300. And you're really looking for somebody in that right field spot to finally, you know, kind of pull through, even though I think he actually played first base in one of those games. They had Luke Gaffney catching. So, you know, a lot of guys who you've been really waiting to see them kind of trend back in the right direction, starting to do that. You got a TP Wentworth in some games, the true freshman, who's showing that he has some potential, that he's a guy maybe that's getting a little more comfortable as they're going later into the year. So I think there's just a plethora of more bats that we're producing. And again, throwing that caveat in there, I mean, the ERA for some of those Pittsburgh pitchers, I think, was over like 6-7. And, you know, these are some guys who've given up some runs throughout the year. So you have to, you know, take it with a little bit of grain of salt. But just the way that Clemson was for so many weeks during that losing streak, just not able to, you know, get clutch hits, not able to get double-digit hits, to finally do that, to kind of more consistently put runs on the board, I think is encouraging. And then obviously pitching on the other end, but we could talk about that more if you want.
Yeah, and we will. Thought I had, though, John Blau, you know, you've covered sports for a long time, as have I. You know that sometimes if things maybe aren't clicking for a good team, going out there and beating up on a bad team and reminding yourself of who you are, how you do it, whatever, that can maybe be a little bit of a slump buster. You have talked at length with us this year about the mentality Eric Backich brings to this team, the concept of even if things are bad, good. It gives us an opportunity to work on this, work on that, work on the other. Sometimes, as the old expression in basketball goes, you just got to see one go in. John Blau, Clemson saw three go in over the weekend. Do you think that there was maybe a little bit of a mental block on this team that's been relieved, or was it just a matter of, hey, it's baseball, slumps happen, how are you going to climb out of it, and this was it?
Yeah, they talked about that. I've heard players say that, hey, you know, that's baseball. You're going to have, you know, points in a season where one guy is not really hitting as much and another guy maybe is. The problem is they had too many of those guys all at once seeming to be in that same situation, too many holes in the lineup. And so, yeah, I think you know, get enough guys kind of back in a positive direction, like I was saying. You have less holes in this lineup maybe. If more guys are seeing it, they're hitting it, they're having more success. And so I think getting, you know, a series like this where you win three games definitely puts you in a better mindset. Again, I really like the idea of NC State maybe in the second round of that, the second game of that ACC tournament, just to, you know, see that familiar foe who really beat you up earlier in the year when you were really in that rut, and getting a chance to maybe beat them again. I think that would be a huge confidence boost. And then you face a Georgia Tech maybe that you've beaten before, and obviously Georgia Tech was able to get that number one seed. So I think, like we're talking about, that whole good mentality, that whole, you know, everything's going to turn around eventually. You know, Eric Backich coming into the series is talking about how it's going to be explosive. It's going to be great. We're going to go on a run. A lot of us were kind of looking at him, you know, a little like, okay, rolling our eyes maybe a little bit. Like everybody needs to see it to believe it, because, you know, they've been saying for a while it's going to come. But I think to have the runs come the way they did, that kind of backs him up a little bit more. And obviously all that matters is the players at the clubhouse, and I'm sure they believe in him and they believe in themselves now, and that's a powerful thing.
John Blau of The Post and Courier joining us here on The Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate, as he does every Monday morning at 8:40 a.m. John, like we mentioned, you've got the winner of Virginia Tech Stanford in round one, the possibility for a Georgia Tech and NC State down the line. And, of course, you've also got Florida State hanging around in there. You've got later on down the line a good Wake Forest team, Virginia, all these different North Carolina, all these teams that Clemson's had some levels of success and some failures. What do you think it would mean for Clemson to make a run to, through, maybe win the ACC championship this year? What would that do for this team heading into regional, super regionals, and potentially a run to Omaha?
Yeah, you gain confidence. I mean, Eric Backich talks about it all the time. You work. You know, I think they're saying is it sounds like a coachism. It's get 1% better every single day and then earn the right to get hot at the right time. And so obviously they got really stone cold there for a while. They're maybe thawing out a little bit, and you have the potential to get hot. I mean, going into this NCAA tournament, if you make a run in the ACC tournament, if you don't, obviously at the end of the day, you still have a chance to kind of regroup. And, you know, maybe if an Ethan Darden comes back, if you get some of that pitching corrected going into the regional, you might have enough there. And you have some of your bats feeling a little bit better again with that Pittsburgh series. But I do think it is a major additive if they're able to have some success in this ACC tournament, maybe get to the semis, maybe get to the last game. If you win it all, I mean, that's a huge confidence boost. Obviously, it's a one-and-done tournament, so what is it going to be like again with the pitching, and who are you going to have to use early, and who do you use late, and how does that work? There's a lot to figure out there. But, I think the simplest thing is that if you win more games, you get yourself a little hotter, you get hot at the right time. That could be a huge thing mentally going into this point of the year, the postseason, and obviously the NCAA tournament.
John Blau with the Post and Courier here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. John, I don't think that there is a sport that is maybe less predictable in the postseason than college baseball. Weird stuff happens all the time. Same with college softball. I'm looking at Texas A&M, the number one overall seed, losing in their regional this weekend. It's a weird postseason, but I'm going to ask anyway. What is your expectations? Do you have any? What would you consider a satisfactory, a disappointing, or an exciting outcome for the ACC tournament? And how does that set us up for regionals and super regionals if you're Clemson?
Yeah, like you said, it's always really hard to predict. Very variable. Just because one bad pitching performance or some fluky play, bad call from an ump. You go back to that Florida State series and the one they lost in the ninth inning, or I think it was actually an extra innings, a weird call and out that maybe shouldn't have been called. But yeah, I mean, as far as the ACC tournament, I would say if you can win a couple games, again, I really, really pinpoint that NC State game. If you can win that game, get past that point, maybe you'll lose in the quarters, or I think the semis actually, if you get past NC State, but then that would be, I think, a pretty good result. Obviously winning the whole thing would be icing on top. I think that would be good. I don't think you obviously don't want to lose to a Stanford or Virginia Tech in the first game. If that were to happen, then you got a lot of the same questions swirling around about are you really in a better place? But I think if you beat them, if you maybe can get a win over NC State, I think that's a huge deal. Anything on top of that, I think it's kind of icing on the cake. And obviously, I think they're a regional host as long as they don't bomb out, look terrible. Other teams go on some runs in their conference tournaments, but you would like to have a little bit more of a positive than a one and done. So I would say that would be the worst case scenario.
John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier, joins us every Monday at 8:40. John, it is nice to talk to you with some positivity, some excitement, some optimism about the Clemson baseball team for the first time in a while. The next time we speak, we'll have the conclusion of the conference tournament and have an idea how the regional shape up. My man, I appreciate it as always. Thanks for swinging by, pal.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
Anytime. John Blau, Post and Courier. You can find him on X at John_Blau, B-L-A-U. If you're a Clemson baseball fan, he is your must follow throughout the run through the ACC tournament and up through Omaha, the ACC tournament again kicking off on Tuesday up there in Durham, North Carolina, starting at 9 a.m. with Miami Cal, and then Clemson gets their first game underway. Game 6, 1 o'clock on Wednesday against the winner of the Virginia Tech-Stanford game. Speaking of winners, all of you for getting to experience Lonzo Sports Flash.
And that's the bottom line because John Blau said so.
Nice.
He said stone cold. I don't know if you caught that. The Atlanta Braves knocked off the Boston Red Sox at Fenway last night, 10-4, taking game 3 and the series 2-1. Spencer Schwellenbach earned the win, giving up 6 hits and 4 runs through 7 innings. All but one of Atlanta's starters had at least one RBI, which that's pretty good. Carolina Hurricanes will face the Florida Panthers in the NHL's Eastern Conference Championship after Florida knocked off Toronto last night 6-1. All 6 Panthers goals came from different players. Carolina hosts Game 1 Thursday night. Oklahoma City Thunder have advanced to the NBA's Western Conference Finals with a 125-93 win over Denver yesterday. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander led with 35 points, and Jalen Williams added 24 more. Hour number 4 already of the Rob Brown Show is next, right here on The Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.